Our Father, we thank you so much that you loved us and you gave your Son to die for us. And now we give our love back to you and our service and commitment to you. We ask that your anointing and blessing be upon this radio broadcast, every aspect of it, to the glory of God and for the saving of souls. We pray it through Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning us in today. You are listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by the Clear Creek Congregation. At this time, Kathleen Four is coming. She's going to be singing House of Gold.
Some people steal, they cheat and lie for the gold and what it will buy. Don't they know on the judgment day, gold and silver will melt away. I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul is saved, than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul. What good is gold and silver too if your heart's not pure and true? Sinner, hear me when I say, bow down on your knees and pray. I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul is saved, than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul. Then deny my God and doom my soul.
Uh,
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than to have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his silver nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Once again, we'd like to say thank you for tuning us in. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over WSKE 104.3 FM. Once again, Kathleen Four is coming. She's going to be singing Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long out, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. In this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who will all my burdens share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When this weary life is o'er, and time for me shall be no more, we'll meet on that blissful shore, and I'll walk, yes, I'll walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
If we want that closer walk with Jesus Christ, we don't do as the world does. The world says you deserve it. Go out and do your best and get the best of everything. But to get closer to Jesus Christ, we must surrender our all. And that's what the group is going to be singing just before the pastor's wife gives a children's story. I surrender all.
Yeah. Ticket to ride. Danny wiped the sweat from his forehead with his arm and reached for his water bottle, which was sitting in the scant shade under the platform of the amusement ride he was working on for the day. "Hi, Danny," a co-worker who worked next to him, Tinker Brooks, greeted him as he sat down and opened his lunchbox. "Looks like a hot one today." "At least it should be cooler tonight," Danny said. "That won't help us get through the day, though, will it?" He knew that a crowd of children and parents would be lined up outside the rides area of the fairgrounds, waiting for the gates to be open. After a run on the tickaboos, he would be busier than he wanted to be and would probably have no break until the fair closed that night. There were days Danny wished he had not decided to earn some extra money working at the fair. His parents had agreed and signed a consent form for him to work. Today he would be helping at the air-filled moon jump. That meant keeping track of hundreds of pairs of shoes for a lot of children. It was really hectic. Yells and giggles heralded the opening of the gates, and Danny shut his eyes briefly. "Please, God, help me get through this day," he prayed quickly. He had no more time to pray or even think as he collected tickets and helped children in and out of the moon jump's doorway. Sweat trickled down his face, and he was glad when a little breeze began stirring in the leaves overhead. "Say, mister," a little boy looked up at him, "can you help me find my shoes? I can't go with my mother until I find them." "I sure will," Danny said quickly with a smile. "What do they look like?" He was glad the boy's shoes were a little unusual. He quickly found the pair and helped him put them on. Meanwhile, he kept an eye on the clock and let other children in and out of the moon jump. A couple of girls from his class and school stopped by. They handed him their tickets for the ride as they removed their shoes with a lot of giggling. "Don't you get tired out here in the heat?" Katie asked, grinning at him as he held open the canvas door for her to go in. "Yes," he said calmly, "but it's my job, so I keep going." "I'm glad I don't have to do it," Fran, a cute blonde, said with a little shudder. "I don't know how you do it in this heat." "It's not that hard," Danny was a little embarrassed. Fran never paid much attention to him in school. Now she was acting as if they were friends. "All the workers out here get pretty hot. We keep drinking a lot of water, and that helps us get through the day." Katie grinned at his discomfort. She knew how shy Danny always was in school. "See you on the way out," she said innocently. "That is, if you let us out." Her eyes were dancing with fun, but Danny did not mind her friendly teasing at all. Katie was a kind girl, and everyone in school liked her. Besides, she went to Danny's church, so he saw her in junior youth meetings every week. "Don't let Fran get to you, Danny," Katie whispered as she got ready to follow. "Fran, inside the moon jump. She's just jealous because you have a real job this summer and she doesn't." "Thanks, Katie," Danny grinned back. "I'm glad you aren't like Fran, or I'd run away or something when I saw you coming." "Now, wouldn't that look good to your boss?" Katie protested quickly. "I don't think so." "Katie, are you coming or not?" Fran sounded a little peeved, so Katie quickly crawled through the doorway, disappearing inside with a wave to Danny. Little whooshes of air escaped as the girls jumped. They shrieked with laughter as they bounced wildly around inside on the inflated floor. "Say, Danny, what's up?" Danny spun around to see two of his friends standing behind him. "Hi, Nolan, Corby, what are you up to?" "Not much. We're just walking around the fairgrounds," Nolan said quickly. "It's a little too early for most of our friends to be here." "This is a pretty neat ride," Corby said, eyeing the line of children waiting to take their turns inside the moon jump. Nolan looked around, lowering his voice as he said to Danny, "How about letting us have some free time in this ride? Your boss wouldn't care since we're your friends." Danny flushed. "I can't do that, Nolan. I have to collect a ticket from every person who goes into the moon jump. My boss counts on me to do it right." "Come on, Danny. Just letting two of your friends have a free ride won't break your boss," Corby urged. "Besides, who would ever know? You could even give us one of the tickets you already collected from someone else." "Someone would know," Danny objected quickly. "Someone who sees everything that goes on around here. I can't do it." Nolan glanced around, surprised. "You mean they have someone watching you?" His voice rose in surprise before Corby warned him to be quiet. "Don't they trust you? After all, it's just an old ride at the fair." "My boss isn't watching me, if that's what you mean," Danny said quietly, his heart beating hard. God always sees everything we do. I wouldn't want to disappoint him, or my boss either, by doing something that isn't honest. Don't make a big deal out of it, Nolan sneered. I just thought you'd do a little favor for your friends. Forget it. Come on, Nolan, Corby grabbed the other boy by the arm. Let's get out of here. The boys hurried off through the crowd without looking back. Danny bit his lip and worried whether there might have been a better way to handle the situation. I hope I did what you'd want me to do, dear Lord, Danny prayed silently between riders. It just didn't seem honest to me to let them ride for free. Corby and Nolan aren't bad boys, Lord. Please help them realize that I'm just trying to do my job. Katie and Fran exited the ride a few minutes later. After putting on her shoes, Katie stopped to talk to Danny. What's wrong, Danny? She asked, realizing quickly that her friend was upset about something. It's nothing, Danny tried to grin and failed. I thought we were friends, Danny, Katie said bluntly. I can see that you're not happy. It's safe to tell me, you know. Nolan and Corby stopped by while you were in the ride, Danny admitted glumly. They wanted a free ride, and I had to tell them I couldn't do it. It wouldn't be right to do that to my boss. Of course you couldn't, Katie agreed without hesitation. Were they angry with you when they left? They looked angry, Danny said. I guess I'd rather have them angry with me than let God down. I'm sorry. Katie gave him a quick smile. I'm glad you did what was right, Danny, even if Nolan and Corby can't see that right now. They're good people, really. Give them some time to think about it. I guess it's part of the job, Danny said, squaring his shoulders with a little sigh. Thanks for caring, Katie, he told her. It really means a lot to me. Sure, Danny, Katie told him. You'd do the same for me any time, wouldn't you? I guess I would, Danny admitted with a rueful grin. That's what real friends are for. Look who's coming, Katie warned in a whisper. Speaking of Nolan and Corby, here they come. The two boys walked straight up to Danny, and he braced himself for their angry words. He felt much better knowing Katie thought he had done the right thing in not letting his friends ride free. Hi, Danny said. We want to talk to you, Danny, Corby said firmly. Danny held his breath. Now he was in for it. We want to tell you we're sorry, Nolan added. You want to say you're sorry? Danny's voice rose in surprise. I thought you were angry with me for not letting you ride free. Thanks for not letting us do something wrong, Corby said. You were right, Danny, and we were wrong to try to get out of paying for the ride. We were angry at first, Nolan admitted sheepishly. Then we got to thinking about what you said about God knowing all about everything we ever do. God does see everything we do, Danny agreed quickly. We knew that what we were asking wasn't right, Corby put in. I'm sorry for putting you in a bad spot, Danny. You acted the way a Christian should. We didn't. I don't know what to say, Danny admitted. It was hard for me to say no, but I know Jesus sees everything we do, so I had to do what was right.
Well, sometimes a friend or friends can purposely or not purposely put us into situations where we would not want to be, especially like in this story here. And so, as he said, would rather have our friends mad or disappointed with us than to have God mad or disappointed with us. We'll get ready to write the Bible question down. We're going to give you that next question after we give you the answer to last week, those who had the right answer. Last week, I asked the question, how old was Aaron when he spoke to Pharaoh? Well, Exodus 7:7, he was 83 years old, 83. Lisa Miller, Robin Tasha Foltz, Dante Vargas, Ron and Dolores Boffman, Justin Mills, Vaughn and Beverly Mills, Randy Miller, Tom and Joanne Detweiler, Arlene Price, Rick and Tanya Valentine, Mike and Patty Feaster, April Elliott, Shelby Mack, Tim Minnick, Doris Four, Paul and Joanne Peachy, Marlon and Donna Jean Lynch, Leslie Miller, Mark and Linda Householder, Mark and Deb Rosentrader. All these had the right answer, and we are so thankful for the good number of those who found the answer and called it in. We thank you so much. We appreciate that. All those who listen to this radio broadcast and the comments and support that they give, we're really thankful for that. for next week, I want you to tell me, who wrote the Roman epistle? Now you say, well, that was easy. That was Paul. Well, Paul was the author. However, he did not actually write it down on paper. And there's a fellow that said that he wrote it, actually penned it down. Paul dictated it to him, and he wrote it down. So why don't you tell me who this fellow was that wrote the Roman epistle, and that narrows it down as to where you're going to look, one of Paul's epistles or the Roman epistle. So when you found the answer, give me a call, 814-652-6409. You're listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over the Everett radio station, WSKE 104.3 on the FM dial. We invite you, come worship with us here at Clear Creek. We are located a mile and a half south of Everett along Route 26. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. In the Breezewood area, Missy Beal, pastor of the Mountain Chapel Church, invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Then in the Fishertown area, the People of the Spring Hope Church invites you there. Sunday school is 9:30, worship at 10:30 every second and fourth Sunday night at 7 p.m. Then down Hindman Way, Nathan Elliott, pastor of the Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, invites you there. Sunday school is not started yet. It'll be starting, I think, next week, but worship service is 10:30. And then out Cottle's Corner Way, 26 North of Everett, Kenny Heinisch, pastor of the Yellow Creek Church, invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Now we're in that time whenever we're going to be having a revival service, and there's revival services going on September the 16th, that's this coming Tuesday through next Sunday, at the Trinity Holiness Church up in Allen Bank on the Quaker Valley Road in Allen Bank. The evangelist is going to be Reverend Paul Mann. The services are 7:30 each evening, and Brother Hunting is the pastor there. So we're in that time. We're having revival services, and you can go to the services if you don't have your Sunday night services yourself, or through the week. Come and go and be revived. This morning, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. It says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin, by the sacrifice of himself." This morning I want to talk to you about the threefold nature of sin in the world. There is a sin of unbelief. That is not believing God or believing his word. It's not accepting his word in the matters of life and creation. There's then sinful behavior. That's the acts that violate God's law. Trespasses. Trespasses are known violations, like going on someone's property when it's posted. No trespassing. It is a lack of doing what's right. We know we should do something, but we don't. This could be maybe helping others, or even to the point of maybe not voting in an election that we know we should. As citizens, if you remember last week, we spoke on being a patriot. And one of the things as a Christian that we can do to be a good patriot is to participate in the election process. Then there's sinfulness. The sinfulness, that nature of sin, that warped desires and motives that we all of us have, we're born with it. This is the evil within us that causes us to act sinful behavior, that evil within that causes us to use bad language, to look at things we shouldn't look at, or go where we know we shouldn't go. So let us look at each one of these this morning. First, you have the sin of unbelief. Now, the Gospel of John was written just for this. John wrote, And he said, and many other things, many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There are pseudo-religions or false religions out there that do not accept Jesus Christ as God. They say, well, he is a God or one of many gods. And these do a lot of good in the community. They help other people. They are family-oriented. And, you know, they're nice people, but they don't believe that. They don't believe that Jesus is God. He's just a God. Matter of fact, one group has made their own translation of the Bible to make it say what they want it to say for their belief system. But even at that, you can take their own Bible and prove to them that they are wrong. Jesus is not a God. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they translated the Word was a God. But in the original, it's not that way. But they translate it that way to try and make their belief system sound good. So John's gospel was written. He said, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. In the beginning of his letter, he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. In other words, John the Baptist came preaching, and he came to point people to the true light. Jesus is that true light. And so the sin of unbelief is not believing that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. Now you say, what's he's the Christ or the Son of God? The word Christ means anointed one or Messiah. And that is a term recognizing God. And so unbelief is people don't want to believe that. Oh, they believe about a man named Jesus. They believe a man named Jesus came. And he was a good teacher, and he did a lot of good things, but they don't believe that he was very God of very God. And so when we talk about the sin of unbelief, we're talking about people that don't believe that Jesus is God. Those who accept and believe are saved. The scripture says in John 1, says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The people that believe, he said, those who believe and accept him as the Messiah, as very God, they are given the authority to become the sons of God. Now, we have to be born again. Jesus said, marvel not, I say you have to be born again. John 3:3. And then he said in John 3:5, he said, if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, the water they're referring to the Word of God, Jesus said on one occasion to his disciples, now you're clean through the Word that I've spoken unto you. And so the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot be saved unless you have faith. And God gives us the very faith to believe on him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if we accept him as the Messiah, we believe that he is God, he says, we have been given the right to be born again. John tells us, he said, but as many as received him, many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, but not of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him
and cried, saying, "This was he of whom spake he that should come after me. He's preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" John bare witness that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is very God of very God. Now, Holy Spirit comes to convince people. He comes to convince us that we're sinful. We need to turn to Christ. And so in John chapter 3:16, he says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He says, and when the Holy Spirit has come into the world, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When the Holy Spirit comes, he reproves the world. He comes to us and he speaks to us about that. Of sin, because they believe not on me. That sin of unbelief. Don't doubt that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is very God of very God. Well, the second is the acts of sin that we commit. Transgression. John tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Those who sin, they go against what God's law has to say. Paul says in Ephesians, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of that law. And so it's the things that we do that we know that we shouldn't do. Now, you see, we've tried to change. People tried to change the laws so that they can commit sin and say it's okay, like abortion. That's killing of unborn. That is killing of the children, like in the Bible talks about making their children pass through the fire. In other words, they would offer them in sacrifice to the false gods, and they would put them in the arms of this red-hot altar of some kind that was in the form of some idol that they had, and their babies would cook to death in those red-hot arms of them. That's a terrible thing. Yes, that is a terrible thing. We can't imagine that. But can you imagine a woman or a man approving of them cutting the baby to pieces to take them out of the womb, or to bring them partially out of the womb and to drive forceps into their skull to kill them? This is what happens in abortion. All those out there say, "No, they don't do that. They don't do that." I've debated with some of those who believe it and said, "No, that's nothing. It does not happen that way." Well, how does it happen then? Well, you see, they don't understand because they're being lied to. There are those out there, they want abortion to be legal. And you see that we try to change the law so we can say, okay, we're not breaking the law. Or we change the law to say that homosexuality is not wrong, that it's right for two men or two women to get married, and they change the law for that. You see, and they tried to change the law for other things as well. Once they got that law passed, then they were going after. They've been out there trying to change the law so that a man could marry like a 10-year-old girl. And in the Muslim religion, that's what they do. And many other things. We try to change the law. It says the transgression of the law. But not only is it the transgression of the law, it is the failure to do what's right. James says, if anyone knew to do good and does not do it, it is sin to him. That's sin. That's the very act of sin, or the lack of doing right is the omission of what you should do. Like If you were to see someone and you had the ability to help them in a difficult situation, whether they were hungry or if they're out along the highway, then a wreck or something like that, and you had the ability to help them, but you refused to help them, that is a sin of omission, that you didn't do what you should have done. Do you see people out there who know that they're lost and they need help and you don't tell them about Jesus? That is a sin of omission. That is sin. That is what is called an act of sin, but it's in the omission of what we should do. See, Jesus satisfies the justice for all of us. He says, God has set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. See, he died that we can have the acts of sin or the omission of what we should do, right, to be forgiven. He died to be the propitiation. Propitiation means that that satisfies God's justice. He died on the cross so that we can have our sins forgiven. John tells us he's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. But it's conditional. Forgiveness is conditional. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you see, forgiveness is conditional upon our confessing. We have to recognize that we have sinned and that we're a sinner. We have to recognize, yeah, that is sin. We can't say, all right, oh, well, that is. No, we have to recognize that it is sin and confess it as sin and then ask for forgiveness. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. Well, the third aspect of sin is the very sin nature. That is that thing we are born with. We didn't ask for it. It's because Adam and Eve sinned and they fell and that nature was there, inherent in them, and they pass it along to everyone. That's why you do not have to tell a child how to lie. They just know how to lie. You don't have to tell them how to throw a temper tantrum. You don't have to tell them how to sneak around to do things that they want to do and they don't want you to know about it. It is that sin nature within every one of us. The sin nature indwelt. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the things I want to do, I don't do. He said, but the things I don't want to do, I end up doing it. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Then he goes on and says, I thank God through Christ Jesus. We can be delivered from that sin nature that causes us to do those things. Paul says, having the old man crucified, that's the old nature being crucified, because it affects our very imagination. In Genesis, after God had created everything and man began to multiply in the earth and they began to kill one another and they began to perform homosexual acts and all the things that are going on there. And it says that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. That's how much that old nature affects us. That's why we have people that they say, well, we don't want bad people taken out of this country and put back into their own country. Oh, they're rapists. Oh, they're child molesters. They kill people. They rob and all that. They're drug lords and all. But it's not nice to send them back to their own country. And they have protests against the ICE agents and so on like that because of that sinful nature in there. Sinful nature makes us pretty stupid sometimes, you know, because we don't recognize the sinful nature, but we want to go and that way there. And so the sinful nature is that causes us to do those kind of stupid and those kind of dumb things. James tells us, he says, it affects the way we think. James tells us, he said, that if we're friends with the world, we're enmity against God. And then Paul tells in Galatians, he says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. Because that nature within is causing us that we can't do what we'd want to do. That's why Paul says in Romans 7, all the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing them. You know, you don't want to get mad at people and tell them off and everything like that. But that old nature rises up within when things don't go our own way. And we end up telling people off or saying things that we should not say. Maybe bad language, I don't know. But that's the old nature that does that. Paul says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your heart, that you, through the Spirit, might be strengthened with might in the inner man, that you might know how to conduct yourselves. He says in Thessalonians that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you know how to possess your vessel, that's your body, in sanctification and honor and holiness, how to possess it, how to conduct yourselves, that you can be not under your control, but under the control of God. See, that old nature controls. The devil just knows what buttons to push. Some people know what buttons to push and make us mad and so on like that, but you get that nature cleansed out of there. And then we have strength by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. It's as we submit and we surrender to Him. As we submit and surrender to God, then we're able to be cleansed of that thing. James tells us, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Then he goes on and he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James says we need to get rid of that old sinful nature that is within us. As we submit to God, submit under the mighty hand of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us when those situations arise. Surrendering to God, allowing Him to cleanse that old nature, is not an option. It's like the Ten Commandments. They aren't multiple choice. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, for if you live after the flesh, the carnal nature, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's why he says later on in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. What about you this morning? Are you saved? Have you submitted to belief that Jesus is the Christ? And have you asked forgiveness of your sin? And have you surrendered to Him to cleanse you? Father, I pray for those listening to my voice. Pray for the unsaved might recognize our lostness to come to you. I pray, Father, for Christians everywhere that might surrender to you to have the cleansing of the old nature. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.